This is Meet the Movie Press. It's July the 6th. What have we got this week? Chucky is back. Hobbs, Shaw, and Big Driss. We've got something to tell ya about Top Gun 2, Ant-Man and the Wasp, The First Purge, and the pick of this week's trailers. This is Meet the Movie Press. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk. We talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Meet the Movie Press.
Hey everybody!
I'm not wearing any stuff.
I'm actually not wearing any pants. It's very hot in LA today, not just because I don't have any pants on. Welcome to Meet the Movie Press. As I said, it was July. There's nothing like the smooth opening to a show, and that was nothing like the smooth opening to a show. Yeah, I think that went very well. Okay, we'll call this a success. My name is Simon Thompson. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at ShowbizSimon. With me, as usual, are Scott and Dimitri. Dimitri, where can we find you and what do you do here?
Hey, I just not a whole hell of a lot. My name is Dimitri Panos, and you can support me at DMovies1701. And I'm also on the Popcorn Talk Network's Anatomy of a Movie, where later today, I will be interviewing actor Dave Davidson, who is in Sicario 2, and will also be talking Sicario 2 just prior to that interview. So I got a very busy day here at the Popcorn Talk Network. I'm very excited.
And we have a busy show. So, Scott, who are you and where can we find you?
Sure, we got to do this really quick.
Yeah.
Instagram, Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
The other Scott M.
Yeah.
We Live Entertainment to read my reviews and my interviews. And I do Black Hollywood Live, which is another network here at AfterBuzz TV. And I do the show Black Tomatoes with Carla Renata.
That was very calm and collected. Yes, very calm and collected.
I have to save my energy.
Yeah, no, that's cool. We have a lot to get through on the show, but I do want to give a special mention to someone we've enticed back to the show. It was July 4th, obviously, this week. It's when we celebrate our independence here in the U.S. from... people like this. Kind of awkward. But I want to give a special mention today to John Santana, who's in New York, who used to watch the show, decided to not watch the show. And I have managed to reach out to him this week and contacted him and asked him to give the show another try. And he has come back. So he will be listening or watching the show this week. John, just to say thank you so much. We really appreciate that. We've seen an increase in figures recently, which is great. We really appreciate that. So if you like the show, do tell your friends. Do spread the word. Tweet about it. Put it on your Facebook. Tell your friends about it if they love movies as well. We always like to include people here on the show. And especially John serves our country. We genuinely really appreciate that, John.
Thank you so much.
We sometimes get accused of being quite liberal on the show, is fine. Which is, everybody is entitled to their own political views. However, every single serving military member, we absolutely appreciate you. So thank you so much for doing that. So shout out to the troops.
Yeah, and you know, I was going to give a shout out to you because there was this conversation taking place on the YouTube.
There was, yeah.
On YouTube, going back and forth. And let me just say, you handled it far better than I probably would have. My Greek blood would have said, all right, well, have at it, boy. But it was very good dialogue, and it was open dialogue.
Was.
And you opened up this door in a way that this person was like, hey, you know what? What are we fighting for? Which is basically what it came down to.
Yeah. And we weren't always...
Because it's him.
Well, we won't always agree. We have our own political views on the show. And obviously in a show like this, it's not a conversation. We are talking to the audience. Now, we won't always agree on politics, whether you're a viewer or whether you're here in the studio. And that's absolutely fine. But one thing that does bring us together is our love of movies and the love of the movie industry.
Sure.
So I hope that will be something that is a uniting factor on the show. Everybody's welcome to watch this show and get involved in this show. Regardless of what your political views are, you are entirely welcome on the show. We would love to have you. And obviously, we look forward to growing the show with you and having your involvement in that. So thank you so much indeed. It's really appreciated.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. I just wanted to show for that.
I just wanted to say that, you know, but it's fair. But obviously, everybody's entitled to express their own political views, and we welcome that. That's totally fine.
And your views on movies.
And your views on movies, exactly.
More importantly.
And you know what? I like a lot of shit that other people love and hate, and that's absolutely fine. There is no right and wrong when it comes to movies, and that's why we're here. So let's talk about what's been happening this week. Chucky's back. Child's Play is... there's a remake of that in the works at MGM this week. There's also a TV show which is on the way. Now, there's two differences here. One is the fact that obviously one is going to be a remake, which is not going to have the original guys involved in that. But the TV show is. So Brad Dourif, who voices Chucky, is still going to be continuing in the TV show. That line is going to continue, as are the creators of that line. The film is going to be something completely different. A lot of reaction to this, positive and negative online this week. What do you guys think about it?
I'm a big Chucky fan. I grew up watching the Child's Play movies, and over time I love how they kind of adapted and became almost comedies, and they poke fun at themselves. Mm. And, you know, then they went direct to DVD for two movies now. And but I'm glad that all the original people were always still involved. And I feel like that really brought an authenticity to mm-hmm. it. And I felt like the passion was still always there. So when they said the news about the TV show,
yep.
I was really on board for it.
Yep.
The remake... reboot. I think it's weird that they're doing both at the same time, first of all. But I don't really know if we need to have two different types of Chucky things. I don't feel like there's that much demand for this. I feel like he really is a cult classic character.
Well, for me, the movies of the last couple of years that have been pushed out, sort of every two and a half, maybe 3 years, has been a new Chucky movie. And recently they have been sort of going straight to VOD.
Yes.
And for me, it seemed like I would have been very happy with just that continuing and then them doing a series of TV movies or limited series with Chucky and then not having them on the big screen anymore, even though I do really like... I remember watching the original Chucky movies, the original Child's Play movies, in the movie theater. I remember when they came out. So I think it's... To me, I mean, it's kind of different. Other franchises and other universes, to use the phrase that's so popular these days, have done similar things where you've had a character carried on the big screen and then on TV.
Right.
The Flash is a really good example.
Yes.
We have a different Flash in the DC movies to the Flash that we have in the TV show. And, you know, Supergirl, again, when Superman pops up, it's different. So, you know, that has worked. Personally, I find it's not confusing is the wrong word. But it's a little bit, it's slightly odd, but it's not uncomfortably odd. It's not off.
It seems unnecessary.
It does seem unnecessary. Yeah, good word.
Muddles. It muddles the water.
Yeah.
And when you're having the original on TV, and they're happening at the same time. Like I get your point. What you're saying about the Flash and then the Flash in the movies, but this is. This is Chucky. This is a well-known brand.
Yeah.
People through the auditory, like just listening to it. Brad Dourif has been it.
Yes.
Been with Chucky since day one.
Yep.
So you get that character, and you understand and you know who's playing him.
Mm.
So when they reboot it, and it's different, and I don't know how they'll do it where it's different, but. It just muddles the water. Mm. And it can be, I think, for certain audiences who are unawares and they don't pay attention like we do and our fans pay attention to this stuff.
Yeah.
If they go to the movie, they'll think maybe there's a tie-in. And
yeah.
It doesn't seem like there will be. It's interesting to be rebooting Child's Play. You know, the one strength about the original movie... I remember going to a screening for it for WBCN Radio at the time.
Yeah.
And... You know, the advertising just made it look so cheesy.
Yes.
Mm. Right?
Yes, yes.
And you're going, I'm going to go see this movie about a slasher doll, a serial killer doll. And then I remember walking out of that movie going, wow, that movie was way better than what the advertising pushes out for this.
100%.
And it built that following. And I really ended up enjoying it. You had great actors in it.
Yeah.
The original Child's Play to me is really a solid horror movie, and I think that it still works today. It's going to be interesting to reboot something that's really good that there is still a heavy fan appreciation
for. Well, for me also, Child's Play has already kind of had a reboot because it started off as a straight horror movie. Then it went comedic. And then it's gone back to kind of more of its original roots. And it's still, you know, darkly humorous. There's still that element of that in there. But it went through the comedy thing and then came back. And the comedy was, I wasn't entirely on board with that. I mean, it kind
of
worked, but it didn't.
I like Bride of Chucky's,
But now it's back to being sort of more serious horror, going back to its roots. I really appreciate it as a franchise. Also, I think the character has a very distinctive look. That has evolved over the movies. Yes. We've seen that evolution, that kind of growth, you know, as if it was a real character, a real person. And I think if you then, you would need to do something quite different, quite radically different to separate. And to me, that wouldn't be child's play. That wouldn't be a reboot. To me, that would be almost like creating a new character within the child's
like
play universe. So I think it'll be quite interesting to see what they do with it. But I mean, it's still a very popular franchise, you know. And certainly, I mean, it is a character. Chucky is a character who's been embraced by things like Halloween Horror Nights at Universal, and certainly by people who, you know, they watch the movies over the years and they've really sort of developed an affinity with. So it'll be interesting to see kind of what that happens. I mean, there's always the possibility, and people are talking about this in the chat room, that there's a chance that they won't, you know, one won't happen.
Yes.
You know, one or both might not happen. When I mean, because this is in the works. It's not...
When they say television show, they're saying, like, on Netflix, right? I mean, or is
that
it going to be
thing.
On a... I mean, because it would have to still maintain its R rating.
Yeah.
So you couldn't be regular network TV.
No.
I can't see a watered-down Chucky. And maybe would it be anthology? I mean, it would be interesting to know.
All right, people in the chat, BlackRock316 is saying, I don't get why we need another Chucky movie. Didn't one come out last year or 2 years ago? Yeah, they are coming out like every 2 years, but they're going straight to DVD. And I think they're surviving well in that space. And also streaming. Kenneth Wilson saying, I'm up for the remake if they make it different, like a robot that gets the soul of a killer instead of a doll and update the premise. Yeah, I mean, that could happen, but I don't think they're going to go too far away from the doll. Phil and Jamie, obviously both will not happen. The film will happen because there'll be a fresh blood involved. Yes, but also the original team are very keen to keep that going.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about Chucky being a highly advanced doll. If it's not Charles Lee Ray's soul, then it's not Chucky. I would 100% agree it would have to be Charles Lee Ray. There's some interesting stuff in there. And Senor Nerd, why a Child's Play reboot where Annabelle is pretty much the new Chucky? Really good point there from Senor Nerd, you know? We do have this. I mean, the killer doll, the spooky doll thing is not... particularly, it's not a new idea.
Not anymore,
it's
right.
not a new idea, and it's certainly being done. I mean, I didn't like the first Annabelle.
I really
liked the one that was the prequel.
Uh-huh.
Creation. Yeah. I thought that was great. So I don't know if
my,
we need another
my
one.
My only, the yeah. stark difference is that Chucky has personality.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, you mostly, now you go to see Chucky because of the personality that Brad Dourif has given this creation. And that's the way that it was in the first movie, yet you had solid directing that delivered creeps and chills and you know, good slasher horror.
Yeah.
So Chucky's a personality.
Yeah.
And he's a personality that the fans have come to like and or love, actually.
Mm.
And you just, whenever you see Chucky's face... you just hear that laugh, the voice.
One of those iconic horror faces. One of those iconic, you know, there's Freddy, Jason,
Michael Myers,
Chucky. That's probably, and then, you know, the likes of people like Frankenstein as Dracula
Hellraiser,
and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Hellraiser. And there's like five that you instantly know. Even if you've never seen one of these movies,
absolutely.
You know these characters.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move on from that. Idris Elba is going to play the villain in the Fast and Furious spinoff Hobbs and Shaw. I'm really up for this. With the Fast and Furious franchise, there are elements of that I love, and there are entries in that I really, really enjoy. There are some that I've been like, I'm kind of, that was fine. Like the last one, I wasn't a massive fan of. That was one of the worst ones in the franchise, but one of the more successful ones. I'm very excited about the spin-off. I love The Rock's character. I love Jason Statham pretty much in fucking anything, to be honest with you. And Idris Elba. I think I love Idris. I think he's done some really good comedy stuff in the last couple of years. He's done some really good dramatic stuff. His stuff that he's done for some BBC TV and stuff has been amazing. He hasn't, for me, yet had the Hollywood role that has really elevated him out of being that sort of B-level, reliable, consistent, but not outstanding. And I think this is something that could really...
I'm glad you brought that up.
Okay.
Because that's exactly how I feel.
Right.
Okay, so, like, I watch him in Molly's Game, and he's terrific in Molly's Game.
He's a great actor.
But then when I watch him in movies like Pacific Rim or even Thor, I'm kind of like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, Charlize Theron was in the last Fast and the Furious movie, And I love her, and she's, you know, Tully and a lot of other movies that she's, you know, been a part of or
Tully,
know,
one of your favorite movies of the year.
Yeah, it is. So it's really hard for me to get behind this because I know how hokey those movies are. That's like part of the fun. But I feel like Jason Statham and Dwayne Johnson are masters of that.
Yeah.
I don't know if Idris Elba is. I think he's more of a... He's an actor who's good at comedy, but I think he's much better in a serious role or something where he can really showcase his acting talents.
In the comedy stuff, though, he's often not the funny guy. He's often the straight... He's just did a really good show, which I know he's trying to get be picked up over here in the US. It did really well on Sky One in the UK, about him growing up in London. And again, he's the straight man. But in that, you know, he's really good. He handles the other side of the comedy really, really well. So in that environment, he's worked. And there's an element of that comedy here, which I think he could play really well. Dimitri.
Come on. His canceling the apocalypse speech in Pacific Rim.
That was not a good movie.
That was not a good movie.
That was not a good movie.
We agree to disagree. That's what it's all about.
We can do that.
I'm a big fan of Pacific Rim. And I actually think, like, the past couple of Fast and Furious movies, I think the things that have stuck out for me has been the chemistry between Jason Statham's character and The Rock.
Yes, absolutely.
They've worked really well together. And it just makes sense that they're going to get their own spinoff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I also believe that their spinoff is not going to be like the Fast and Furious. I do think that they're going to take it. It's going to be obviously action-driven. But I don't think we're going to get the action, the far-out, you know, breaking the laws of physics kind of action that Fast and Furious does. So I think Idris Elba... You know, it's good for him.
Yeah.
The movie's going to work because, well, it has The Rock in it and then Jason Statham. The way that it will be marketed, people are going to go, and he's going to bring in an element of fans, too. I think it's win-win for
And again, it's part of the same franchise, but I think this is what happened for Luke Evans. When Luke has been working for many, many years in Hollywood, he's done a number of movies that didn't quite hit the audience, but everybody knew who he was. He was that B-level. He then did Fast and Furious, and that really elevated him. And off the back of that, he got things like Beauty and the Beast, etc., etc. So I think it's worked for him. So hopefully that will happen for Idris. People in the chat saying, Kenneth saying, Idris would be a great Bond, but think he's too old now. And I 100% agree. Ashley was saying he was great in Mountain Between Us. Absolutely. And also, I totally agree with Ashley on this. Jason was great in Spy.
He was.
Spy, that was a really good... That was, for me, one of Paul Feig's best movies.
It was. Absolutely. It was.
Didn't get as much attention as it should have done. Everybody in that movie was on the top of their game. It was so funny. And Jason was absolutely awesome in that movie. If you haven't seen Spy, you can pick it up on, like, DVD and stuff for, like, $3 in the grocery store now. Or I think it might be on some of the streaming services, or certainly it's not going to be cheap. It's not going to be expensive to buy.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for a film, you got like less than $5, like chuck it on a movie. Spy is really good. And I have to say, the swearing in that movie is first fucking class.
It's awesome.
I'll post a video later, but I did where I was talking to Paul Feig about swear words, whether he'd heard or not, because Jason's amazing, and Paul loves the cussing. It's like a fine art to him. So we basically, I gave him a load of offensive terms to see if he had heard of them before, and he swears to this day that he is at one point going to use the phrase spunk trumpet in a movie. So when I die and people say I haven't contributed anything to Hollywood...
There you go.
That was my contribution.
All right,
that was
spunky.
My contribution.
Good for you.
Yeah, spunk trumpet. BlackRock saying, I love the Fast and Furious franchise, but the second and the last movie was not good for me. They need to tone down the over-the-top action. I think they do, and I think they need to balance it. They can do when they want to. We'll see. Xeno Hour, Idris Elba's great and all, but totally missed opportunity by not casting me as the villain, apparently, Xeno saying.
I can't disagree with you.
I could have been his Jason Statham slightly slow brother.
Sure.
That would have been quite good, wouldn't it? Completely
slightly
useless.
So.
Yeah. That would have been all right. I'd take that. So anything else to say about Idris Elba in that movie? No, I think we covered
I'm
that.
For it. I'm good.
So last week we had a conversation about Top Gun 2, Top Gun Maverick, and it was about who was going to play Goose's son. Son of Goose. There were three actors in line for it. There was Nick Holt. There was
Glenn Powell.
Yeah,
Glenn Powell.
And there was Miles Teller. And I said I would be amazed if Miles Teller was cast, because I thought he...
Wait, and those words came right after me saying, Miles Teller.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you said, yeah. I would be amazed.
I would be amazed. And, well, fuck me.
Yeah.
Miles Teller is going to be Son of Goose. So I'm happy to be wrong, and I'm very happy for Miles. But I honestly thought that it was going to be one of the other ones. I thought they would have brought in, but there you go, you know? So
I'm
Miles Teller
Miles.
Is going to be... I mean, nothing against Miles Teller.
He's not in the chat today, though.
No, he's not. He's not in the chat today. But that's true. But no, I was wrong. I'm more than happy to be wrong. I'm very pleased for Miles Teller. You guys are obviously delighted.
Yeah.
Well, I am.
Yeah, you're kind of... You're on the fence
about
that.
Yeah, I am.
You?
I mean, like I said last week, I mean, I loved him in Whiplash. I loved him in the Fireman movie.
Yeah.
Only the Brave.
I just...
Bleed for This.
Bleed for This was okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just... It's weird because I just don't think that Miles Teller really sells a movie. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because there's so much riding on Top Gun as a sequel.
Mm.
And there's so much hype around it that I feel like you really want to either cast really big people or really unknowns.
Yeah.
And that's why I was so bummed that Glenn Powell didn't get this, because I feel like he's starting to climb that rope, but like not enough people know of him yet.
Well, for me, he would have been great, because I also think they could have shoved in, I mean, this might have been over-egging the pudding a bit, but because he looks a little bit like Tom Cruise.
Yes.
And he looks like Anthony. I was kind of like, well, it would have been quite interesting to like, well, maybe Maverick gave it to Mrs. Goose.
Need for Speed. Wow, yeah. Look at that.
That would have been quite interesting, because they were all very close in that first movie.
Flame out.
So maybe there was one night where Maverick...
Yeah.
Goosed Mrs. Goose. You know, that would have been a fun subplot. Maybe a little bit, you know...
Spoiler alert.
Maybe a little bit sort of, you know, soap opera-y, but it would have been quite fun. I'm just saying, you know, Bruckheim, if you're looking for an additional plot point in there and you potentially need to recast... Just saying, that might work. No, but I just thought that would have been quite a handy little plot point. But obviously, that's not going to happen now, because Miles Teller
doesn't look anything
like Tom Cruise.
No,
yeah.
But
and again, though, you say he doesn't sell a movie. He's not being.
He's not above the line.
Yeah, it doesn't. He doesn't have to.
Yeah.
I mean, like, the responsibility isn't necessarily on Miles Teller, just like it necessarily wasn't in like movies like Only the Brave.
Right.
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 So. You have them come in. This movie is sold on Maverick and Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Yes.
And planes. And
yes.
Fighter planes. And
right.
Jets. So having the link
and
to
the
Goose
danger zone.
And the danger zone. And so for him, it's not really on his shoulders. I think I'm curious. I just want to know how this is all going to play. There has yet been word as to whether or not Meg Ryan will make a cameo in the movie.
And Kelly McGillis doesn't really act anymore. I mean, she was in Stakeland and a few other things, but doesn't really. It'd be nice if they can get her back, though, for some reason.
Yeah. So, look, I'm all in on this movie.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to it, and I'm glad that Miles Teller got the thing. Hey, this clock here, and I'm calling myself this broken clock here.
Okay.
Last week I proved that a broken clock can be right twice a day, because I had that, and I also said Sicario 2 was going to way over-index what everybody was prognosticating.
And it did.
So this broken clock was right twice in one day.
Talking about broken clocks, and we talked about this on the show last week, the house with the clock in its walls. There's the hashtag is house with a clock. I could see that hashtag going horribly wrong.
It's not a good hashtag.
That's not a good hashtag.
That's
going to go horribly wrong. People can't do Ant-Man and the Wasp or, like, you know, whatever. I'm just like, House with a Clock is going to go horribly wrong.
And have you noticed that they've, like, almost taken over social media? Like, things
it's been
like
very
Twitter?
Busy. Very
like,
busy.
Really?
Yeah.
And that
yeah,
makes
yeah.
me wonder, wow, that's a lot of time spent on Twitter for that movie.
Yes. Let's get back on track with, that was my fault. That was Top Gun Maverick and Miles Teller. Let's see what people are saying. And we also go back very briefly to Idris Elba, a senior nerd saying, Fast 9 will be in space, calling it. That's you know what? I don't. That would not surprise me. There was a spacey element, but I don't know if it's going to be like Space Fast and Furious.
Yeah, it's going to be SpaceX.
Yeah, SpaceX. Space Force. Film nerd Jamie saying Xena Hour the Wire was a critical darling but never a big rating show. 100% true. 100% accurate. Film nerd Jamie Miles Teller is honestly too good for Top Gun 2, but I sense he needs to be in a big commercial movie. I agree with both of those things. It's one of the reasons why I was quite surprised that he cast aside from his appearance. Ashley, Glenn Powell is my son of goose. So you do realize you're going to have to watch Top Gun 2 with your wife and have a picture of Glenn Powell. And whenever Miles Teller moves along the screen, she's going to have, like, his face on a stick. Not his actual face. She's not going to skin him.
Right.
But, yeah, you know. Xena and Miles Teller is a great actor. However, if he's playing another angsty character, that would be a waste. I agree with that. Kenneth Wilson in Top Gun 2, is the plot going to be Goose chasing Maverick to try and get his dad's dog tags? Potentially, but that would kind of be like Sonic the Hedgehog. So lots of comment on there, you know. It's interesting to see as well. Bob B has says, the house with the cock in its balls, the Liam Neeson story.
What?
I don't know what Liam Neeson movies you've been watching. But I don't get that reference. But you said cock and balls, so that's quite funny. And also Jack Dennis saying, hey guys, Miles Teller here, getting ready for Top Gun 2. Just saying. Good to have you back, Miles. Yeah. Good to have you back. Okay, let's move on. A very controversial story this week. And it's an actress who, is no stranger to controversy when she's being cast in these movies. Scarlett Johansson this week announced she's going to play a trans mobster in Rub and Tug. By the way, my favourite title for a movie in the longest time. Although I would like to see those as two, like, detectives. Rub and Tug.
I'm Rub,
and he's Tug.
Yeah.
Why do they keep calling me Tug?
Yeah, it's like, we'll beat it out of you! Scarlett Johansson is going to be reteaming with the director. I thought too much about that movie. Reteaming with the director of Ghost in the Shell.
Oh, boy.
For the true story of this character's mafia running a load of illicit massage parlors. Obviously, understandably, the top line of complaint in this is the fact that when she did Ghost in the Shell,
right,
there was the talk of whitewashing, which is a problem in Hollywood and is being dealt with, but there's still a way to go. But obviously now this is ScarJo taking on a character who is someone who is trans. And right now in the industry, we are not short. There have been documentaries, there have been independent films, there have been major TV shows with trans actors there playing roles, but not playing the roles of trans people, playing the role of people.
Sure.
So we know there are trans actors out there. Why wouldn't you get a trans actor to play this role? Now, an obvious thing is, two reasons. One, there are people who will have a problem with that. They don't want to watch trans actors.
Okay.
The second is the fact that ScarJo is a name. Scarlett Johansson, you know that will get some bums on seats, that'll get a certain amount of interest. If you don't have that star name, it gets a little bit harder to sell tickets sometimes. What do you guys think? Well, a lot of the times. There aren't that many movie... I had this conversation on a regular basis. There aren't that many movie stars. So what do you think about this? Let's look at those... Sort of the big... Let's look at the issue of not being a trans actor in this lead role.
Yeah. It's interesting. I didn't even think of your first topic. But the second topic I did. On Anatomy of a Movie, when we did Ghost in the Shell, we spent a lot of time talking about this whitewashing. It was of my opinion. I won't speak for my other colleagues. They're not here. But I don't think that there was whitewashing in that movie because of the way that they made that character. And they made no bones about telling us that this character has no identity.
Yeah.
And it wasn't supposed to have an identity.
Yeah.
So coming on board this, I just feel bad for in a sense, for ScarJo or Scarlett Johansson. Yes, there are, I'm sure, plenty of transgender actors who could have taken this role, but to the point of making a movie and putting them in the main role to get, you need some semblance of a name. this isn't, I'm not demeaning transgender actors. Mm. Yes, there are plenty. You should maybe put some in the movie. But when you're talking your title character, an unknown, whether she's transgender or not, wouldn't really sell the movie. And, you know, as much as I hate to admit it, though, Simon, your first point, I think, is very valid. Sadly so. So I got in there. I wasn't even going there. I was just thinking but of also, making a movie.
But also on my first point, to be honest with you, whether it's someone trans in the lead role or not,
yeah,
the fact that it's about someone who is trans, a lot of people just won't go and see that movie. True. I say a lot. There'll be a number of people who won't, a sizable enough number of people who wouldn't go and see it purely because it's about someone
exactly.
who's trans.
And you know,
whoever plays that role.
Right. And I keep on going back to, like, say, The Crying Game.
Yeah.
Okay. The actor in The Crying Game went on to be in Stargate.
Yeah.
Now, that was a different time, but it didn't keep people from seeing Stargate, you know. But we're in a different, such a.
But also, Jay isn't trans, right?
I don't know what Jay was at the time.
I don't know
Crying Game.
But I wanna just point out real quick. So, Scarlett Johansson in this movie, and I think the reason why she's getting so much shit about this is her approach to things.
Okay.
I think her approach is just very matter of fact a lot. I also think that it was a very ballsy move to put someone like Scarlett Johansson in this role, for not being trans to begin with, but for being one of those most beautiful women in Hollywood kind of thing. And they know that they're going to sell tickets by putting her in this type of movie.
Yep.
Okay.
There's been a lot of controversy, and she's even pointed it out with, you know, no one said anything when Jeffrey Tambor was cast in Transparent. No one complained when Jared Leto.
It's a valid point.
And
it's a valid point.
The thing is that I think Scarlett Johansson, I think, has this, I hate to say this because I do really like her as an actress. She just has this entitlement level to her where I think she feels like she's above this.
Mm.
But there's also another conversation to be had about why is this being brought up now when it's a female as opposed to when males have been doing this transition over in a lot of movies over the years.
Agree with it or not, that's a valid point. That's what she's saying is not something that is unreasonable.
Yeah, but I think it's really just the fact that she's such, you know, a beautiful, you know, woman, and everyone looks at her that way, and it's like, oh, she can sell. She's sexy, blah, blah, blah. And I think what the trans community is really upset about is, you know, yes, it should be a trans person in this role.
Yeah.
And Hollywood just doesn't care about that. It's going back to your second point, is they want a name that's going to sell tickets. And yes, there are not as many movie stars. There's not as many Tom Cruises nowadays. But there's still certain people they can cast in movies that will sell tickets.
Yeah.
And that are household names versus people who are like more independent names.
Yeah.
Scarlett Johansson's not an independent film star anymore.
No.
She started off that way, but she's a big Hollywood superstar.
Yeah.
And just for funny things, I'm still waiting for my apology for Rough Night. That's what I'm still pissed off about.
Yes.
For Scarlett Johansson. That fucking movie was a disaster.
Yeah. Rough Night. Oh, God, yeah. Oh God. I completely forgot about that movie.
Yeah, well, she was also,
Jesus Christ.
She was also in The Spirit.
Oh my God!
Good God!
Yeah. Yeah, but no. But I blanked those movies out. I'm telling you, Rough Night though, because Rough Night came out 3 months before Girls Trip, Girls Trip blew that fucking shit away.
The other thing, if we could just bring this up too, there were two movies that came out last year. I remember talking about them on Anatomy of a Movie, extensively about whitewashing. Ghost in the Shell being one.
Yep.
The Wall. The Great Wall being the other one, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's come to a point because I see people, like, they're on Twitter, they're on social media, and these are people that, number one, when you talk about the Great Wall, that character wasn't supposed to be Asian in the first place.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, he was from the States. He was a mercenary. It's like, you can't blame a person for whitewashing when he's playing a white man. Mm. You know, he was meant to be a mercenary from the States fighting that war. And so, and like I already said about Scarlett Johansson, it's yes, they just made things a little bit different from the anime. And if you didn't read the script or you didn't see the movie Ghost in the Shell, it's very hard. Like, you can't make an argument for something you haven't seen, because the movie really makes no bones that that character had no identity. It wasn't meant to be Asian, Swedish, Greek, American.
It's for her, it's just her handling of situations. She goes at it the wrong way. You she think? Takes it too personally. Yes. I think another person who I feel this way about is Jennifer Lawrence in a lot of ways. I feel like they have this like, I'm hot shit persona. And it's like, yes, you're beautiful, and yes, you're talented, but like, there are so many other people in this industry who can do this job too.
But also, I mean, there are a few other viewpoints. I mean, you know, whether people agree with them or not in the argument, there's 25, 30 years ago, there are very few actors who would want to play a trans character.
True.
Or a gay character.
Right.
Because they felt that it would kill them at the box office.
Well, look how Charlize Theron won.
There is movement forward where the fact that a lot of actors are now willing to play these characters that were marginalized, or I mean willing, and I don't mean that in a patronizing way, but they see portraying someone from the LGBTQ community and wider as less, they don't see it as a career killer. Which in itself is progress. But obviously I think and there's the argument as well, and a great example of this is the Clint Eastwood movie this year. Just because you are something and you take a real life case of that and you put them in a movie, it doesn't mean that they're necessarily going to be the right for the jobs. Those soldiers did an amazingly heroic thing that day on that train in Paris. They are not actors. They should not have been acting in that movie.
No.
So you can find, you have to find the right tool for the job.
Agreed.
And but even I would like to think that they had at least considered or looked for trans actors.
I don't
but
think
I feel
so.
That that is not
I
the
don't,
case.
I don't. And that's the bigger issue here at bay, is that the bigger issue is the fact that there is so few openly gay and lesbian and transsexual actors out there. You know, it still makes headlines every time something happens, like 2 days ago or three
That's
days ago
true.
When Tessa Thompson came out. I mean, that was trending on Twitter all day, like from 9 o'clock in the morning until like 10 o'clock at night. And like, why is that such a big deal? You know, but it's because it's so rare that Hollywood embraces that it becomes the biggest news of the day.
Yeah, and it's also sad to me.
It is really sad.
There was an amazing article in Rolling Stone magazine with Janelle Monáe, who we talked about last week.
Yep, we did.
At great length. And in that article, it more or less came out, Tessa Thompson.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if they're still together, but they were together.
Yeah.
Right? And I was like, huh, who knew?
Yeah.
Huh, God bless them. Like, that's great for them. That's, that's amazing. But it is sad that people would take in a negative way. You know, Tessa Thompson to me was the standout in Creed. I loved her in Thor. I've really enjoyed watching her in movies, as we've talked about Janelle Monáe. I think she's a talented individual. She's very beautiful on screen. She's very captivating. Both of them are. So regardless of their proclivity, I could care less. Well, I want their talent on screen because I have fun watching them, and they're really good, and I buy
But that's why see that's where we're not the proper people to be talking about this subject.
Well, this
matter.
Is something I was going to say actually. I did actually try to find somebody to come. I asked for somebody to be found to come on the show to talk about this with us, because it's great that we are three middle-aged white straight guys talking about this, going, well, blah, 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 because that's what Hollywood needs more of.
Right.
So what I want to do is, this story, I think, is going to roll. I think this is going to continue to develop.
Oh, yeah.
I think, so what I am going to do is, and this is part of the show moving forward, I really want to get someone from, ideally a trans journalist, but certainly someone from the trans community, to come on and talk about it, because we obviously have our own opinion, and and just because you speak to one person who is trans or LGBTQ doesn't mean that they speak for the entire community. But to get a perspective from someone who is trans, you know, either a journalist or not someone in the industry. Because these are the people also who are going to make a choice whether to see a movie or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's again, it's about this ongoing thing of representation and how you feel represented on screen. So we are, this story is going to roll. So in the next couple of weeks, we are, after Comic-Con probably, we're going to get somebody to come on and we're going to talk about this in a very open way and talk about it with someone from the trans community or the LGBTQ community to get their input in it, rather than just three white guys.
Yeah.
You know, I think because we are entitled to our opinion. However, I think it's important to involve people from that community in this discussion with us. So we'll come back to that in a couple of weeks. But some really interesting points raised there. And I'm sure, you know, people will have their own opinions on it, which, you know, everybody is entitled to. A couple of other things I want to rattle through. Let's talk about Nicolas Cage joining Spider-Man into the Spider-Verse cast as another Spider-Man. I love Nicolas Cage, right? He's fucking mad.
He is.
He's absolutely bonkers. I genuinely pretty much watch everything that Nicolas Cage is in. 80% of stuff from the last 10 to 15 years is being terrible.
Yes.
But I just, 80%. I love the idea of him doing this. I would have loved to have seen him as Superman.
No, personally. No, hey. But this is not a spoiler. He's actually the, it's actually announced, I'm not spoiling it to anyone,
okay,
on IMDb, Teen Titans Go. He's the voice of Superman.
Great.
So he finally gets the play of Superman.
Yes, and he's
fantastic. I had heard a rumor that was going to be something. That's
he is
awesome.
Fantastic.
I really want to see that, by the way.
It's amazing.
But yeah, Nicolas Cage joining Spider-Man as another Spider-Man.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I like the idea of that. Okay, Tarantino Star Trek movie would feature the reboot cast. So that's the Chris Pines and the Zachary Quintos rather than the Star Trek Discovery people. What do you think about that? I think that's I know a lot of people don't like the new Star Trek movies, and I think they've been varying quality. But I mean, still there's a question mark over whether this will ever happen, but I'm up for that.
As a Star Trek fan.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed Star Trek, and I really enjoyed Into Darkness, you know. Again, when we talk about fandom, it was
Into Darkness, too.
I liked it Into Darkness. I wasn't a fan of Beyond. So,
me either.
Yeah.
Interesting.
You see, I did like that. I know a lot of people didn't like that. I enjoyed that movie.
That was very not Star Trek.
Yeah.
But in any case, for me, the whole Quentin Tarantino thing is I would love to see him tackle the science fiction genre.
Mm.
I would love to see his take on Star Trek. Because I do believe that he will have an appreciation for the science fiction of it all.
Yeah.
And he doesn't, Star Trek doesn't have to be violent, but I think his take on it will be interesting. And I would just like to see his eye, like his writing, and how he writes that, it's out of his wheelhouse.
Yeah.
And that is what I am most looking forward to. He's got a very talented cast to write for, who could say his dialogue if it gets that way. Very dialogue-y.
And I think we're going through something of a Pinaissance, you know, with Christopher Pine. I mean, he really is Christopher Pine. That's what his parents call him. We call him Chris. Christopher Pine, have you tied in your room? Stop. Open that bedroom door. I want to know what you're doing. You've been a very naughty boy. Chris Pine. He's shown in the last couple of years, you give him good material, he can knock it out of the park.
Yes.
You give him shit material, he's going to shit in the park.
But he's a very good Captain Kirk.
Yeah.
He's a good Captain Kirk.
Yeah, I like him in the Star Trek movies. And I mean, you know, the movie that almost got so close to Oscar glory. A couple of years ago, he got lots of awards. Oh shit! Where he plays a bank robber type guy.
Hell or High Water.
I completely banged the man there for a second. Great in that. Right. Great in Wonder Woman.
Yeah,
coming back in Wonder Woman 1984. so yeah, I mean, I like
he was
him,
also
so
great
I,
in that Finest Hours movie.
That one,
underweight.
In fact, if I can't, Anatomy of a Movie, we actually had the Coast Guard men who consulted on that movie and talked about the history, and they talked about Chris Pine's dad, who is in the original Chips television series.
Oh, cool.
Came to the set, and he's a great conversation. They said Chris Pine was so very professional, but he's a great actor, and what he's done is what I talked about in Solo. He didn't play William Shatner. He played Captain Kirk. Yep. And you could see where he could maybe evolve into the Captain Kirk that we know and love. But I think that's everybody in that cast. But they're all talented people who could handle Quentin's writing.
I was very much hoping that Chris Pine was going to sign up for Tarantino's Hollywood. I was really hoping that he would go and do that, but he not. Some stuff from the chat. Sky Patterson saying Quentin Tarantino Alien reboot would be odd and weird, but kind of cool. Yeah, great, absolutely. Sky saying Quentin Tarantino doing Star Trek with J.J. Abrams. Star Trek cast joining the film. Awesome. I can't wait to see what happens. A lot of people still saying that, you know, the film won't happen. And I think there's a strong possibility that it won't happen. But if it does, it's something that I genuinely am looking forward to.
Why do people think that it won't happen?
There's a lot of feelings that it just won't. You know, but
I think it's if you look at most Tarantino box office runs, I don't think they've ever been that huge. So with a Star Trek movie with all the special effects and all the casting, the budget's got to be at least $100 million.
Yeah.
And most of his movies don't make over $100 million. I think they'll make way under.
Okay.
Jack Dennis saying, love the National Treasure movie, Simon. It's going back to Nick Cage. Simon, why won't Disney make the third? The box office went up in the second.
That's a very good question.
Do you know what? I talked to Jerry Bruckheimer about this a couple of months ago. I was doing a piece with him for 12 Strong for UK Press, and we talked about this. They haven't ditched the idea of doing another National Treasure movie. It just hasn't happened. I don't think it's a priority franchise for Disney.
No.
I really don't think it is. I could see them doing another one, but perhaps rebooting or taking it in a slightly different direction. Yeah, I actually enjoy the National Treasure movies. The first one I kind of bypassed in theaters, and then I watched it on home entertainment and really enjoyed it. And the second one I really enjoyed in theaters. You know, it was basically a modern Indiana Jones for a lot of kids. Not as big and not as iconic, but kind of that, you know, filling that adventure niche. I'm with Jack on this. I would love to see them do it. Jerry has got ideas. He's talked about them. It just doesn't seem to be a priority for Disney right now. And certainly with what we discussed last week with Indiana Jones coming back, I don't see it being a priority anytime soon. But there's nothing to say. And here's my thought on this. National Treasure, not being another movie, but with Disney launching their streaming service, doing a National Treasure series, which would be cheaper and give it more longevity and give them a really solid TV franchise, which if they then wanted to put back on the big screen with like a summer movie, they could do that. And I think that is something that Disney are definitely considering. Yeah. So I don't think we've seen the last of National Treasure, but it just doesn't seem to be a priority for Disney right now.
Yeah, the movie that's been on cable a lot lately, and I just always tune into it, is The Rock. I mean, The Rock is so good. Yeah. And that's a movie, too, where you say, wow, Nicolas Cage and Sean Connery, would that really work? Yes, it does. Okay.
Did I ever tell you about the story about the time that I freaked out Jerry Bruckheimer? No. Very quickly, I was in Spain doing press for Sorcerer's Apprentice, and I was booking an appointment to have a massage in the hotel where all the media was staying. And not a rub and tug, you know, a back one. And it was a very nice hotel. I don't know if they've given me that, but I didn't ask, so I don't know. Side comment. But anyway, so I had to give up my spot for Jerry Bruckheimer.
Oh.
I got asked if I would give up my spot, so I did. But obviously Jerry didn't know that it was me or I was media or gave up my spot. So I go into the interview room and I'm like, how was your massage this morning, Jerry? And he was freaked out. I said it wasn't me. I didn't give you that.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. A little bit of insight into my showbiz world. Massages I didn't have. Okay, let's move on to something else. Sonic the Hedgehog movie lands Jim Carrey as the mad scientist villain. We know that James Marsden's already in this movie. He's not going to be playing Sonic. But yeah, I mean, Jim Carrey, great.
Yeah.
You know, I love Jim Carrey when he's being wacky, whether it's slightly restrained wacky. You guys happy with that?
Yes, I am.
Not that Hollywood gives a shit about us,
but fine.
You know, we're okay with it. Doctor Strange sequel confirmed by
Very
Kevin
excited about
Feige
but he
this week.
Died. God, he
Nobody
died.
No, he doesn't.
Nobody dies. Nobody dies. I really enjoyed Doctor Strange, and we'll get to some more Doctor Strange stuff later on when we talk about box office. But I mean, that was a movie that I really enjoyed.
Very well done.
Within the Marvel Universe, a really nice you know, self-contained movie, but fitted into the galaxy really nicely.
Yep. Scott Derrickson did such an amazing job with the visuals in that movie.
And also, for me, the character really moved along really nicely in Avengers Infinity War. He's one of the characters that I think was best served in that movie.
Yeah, and he was given stuff to do.
Yeah.
And Scott did an amazing job with that movie, so I hope that if it does happen, that Scott's going to be on board for that. Sicario 2 director Stefano Solima is not going to return for Sicario 3. His choice, it looks like. He was saying this week during an interview that he would like, if it continues, he'd like to hand it over to someone else to make it. Obviously, Denis Villeneuve did the first one. I haven't seen the second Sicario movie. Have you both seen it?
I have seen it. Yeah, it makes sense because this movie, if anything, it marks a stamp that says we're going to be like an anthology. Each movie will be its own standalone with no necessary connection to the last movie. Each movie can be its own, almost like a James Bond movie. I don't mind that.
I think they're pushing this movie too much. I really do. I don't think this should become a franchise, but it is.
Yeah.
So. Well, I mean, I was surprised that they were going to do a sequel.
Me too.
I thought the first one was pretty.
And there was talk of it being three, but then they were like, well, maybe it won't be three. But I think the box office on this has been strong enough to maybe push it.
There hasn't been
that much excitement about it, generally, I think, amongst
the controversy, I think, might be selling this one a little bit more.
Yeah.
A little.
I think it has. Yeah. So,
well, they've also said that it's hurting it as well.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. I can't wait to talk about it on Anatomy. So and
a couple of people talking about some stuff that we've just covered. Yeah. Sky Patterson is saying some amazing things. Oh, congratulations, Sky! Didn't realize, but graduated in May. This year. I didn't realize. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Looking for a job now and going to be going back to school for fine arts and business. So that's fantastic. So maybe we'll see Sky in Hollywood at some point. Jack Dennis, how has Nick Cage in his quest to pay off debts not done a TV series? Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good question.
That'd be cool. We could do like him and Storage Hunters and all that.
To be honest, that is such a great point. Like, I don't understand why nobody has hired him to be on a television series.
Be great. Zias B saying, I can see a National Treasure series on the streaming service or Disney Channel. No, I think absolutely. Streaming service, I think, more than Disney Channel. I think because people it's going to be cheaper than signing up for like Disney as part of a cable package, which a lot of people are getting away from. I'm afraid I'm the bringer of bad news, Scott.
What's the matter?
Ashley said that she would leave you for Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh my god.
Oh. Well, that escalated quickly, didn't it?
Wow.
Okay, let's go back to the news. It comes at night. The director of that movie, Trey Edward Schultz, is going to reunite with A24, the studio that released that, for a musical called Waves. We discussed this on the show previously with Lucas Hedges and Sterling K. Brown. Sterling K. Brown, who is so hot in Hollywood right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Everybody off the back of This Is Us. And, I mean, a very good career before then.
Yeah.
Everybody really wants him in there. Interesting. I wasn't a big fan of It Comes at Night. I thought it was interesting.
No,
it didn't deliver
did
for me
like
in a way
it.
That I hoped. But very interesting to see a musical next thing.
It's not that I didn't like it.
Yeah.
I think it's great, though, that a director, I mean, he made his bones and he got recognition for It Comes at Night, and then he's doing something completely different.
Yes.
So I think that's a smart, good move for him. And Waves has already gotten so much publicity.
Yeah.
I mean, already. So, it's good. Good for him.
So we have 5 minutes left on the show. We need to get to box office very quickly. The trailers this week, huge trailers this week. The one that really stood out for me was Wolfman's Got Nards.
Same here.
The documentary for the Monster Squad. That doesn't have a distributor yet. I'm super psyched about that movie.
Same here.
That is going to be so good. The biggest movie at the box office this weekend is obviously Ant-Man and the Wasp, which is great. Obviously, you're wearing the T-shirt. I love the movie. Clearly, we were paid by Disney to do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, clearly by that, which is true. I also did an interview with Peyton Reed, which is on Forbes. That might be worth checking out. There's a lot
very
of stuff we cover in there.
Yes, very good.
Disney-Fox merger, Fantastic Four, Ant-Man. We also talk about the remake The Last Jedi campaign that's been going on. on.
He's doing
He's definitely one of the producers. He's one of the producers. Now, I get Peyton's thoughts on that because obviously someone within that Disney family and talking, you know, being a, you know, at the helm of movies in a major franchise, we talk about that as well. It's worth getting his take on it. It's very, very interesting. Big movies this weekend. Ant-Man and the Wasp took 11.5 million on Thursday. Right. The original took 6.4, so that is a very big step up. Doctor Strange, by comparison, 9.4 million. So this is a very, very strong opening for Ant-Man and the Wasp. We actually touch on why the characters resonated in the interview with Peyton. You were going to say something.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's, you know, for me, it's hard. Using Doctor Strange isn't like the best comparison. Because Doctor Strange is the first.
Yep.
Like, to do Doctor Strange in the first Ant-Man and Wasp,
yeah,
that's apples to apples to me.
Yeah, yeah.
To say that this did better than Doctor Strange, it's, I go, well,
purely,
you know.
Kind of to give it a context.
Sort of, kind of. And again, I'm going to say that I think this movie, I think, is going to do far better than what they have initially.
People are saying it's going to be a 70 to 80 million weekend. I can see it going 85, 90 very easily.
I can see it doing,
a lot of people are very excited about it. Ant-Man did 57 million debut, 180 million domestic by the end of its run, and 519 domestic globally. I can see them adding 200 million to that quite easily.
I think this is just a nice change of pace.
Yeah.
So far from Marvel movies this year, it's the Thor Ragnarok of this year.
Yeah.
You know, something that's just lighthearted and fun, and I love the family elements.
Even though we've had three Marvel movies out this year, it appears they haven't really cannibalized each other, which is great. And I again discussed that with Peyton in the piece.
They've been all different.
Yeah, and Ant-Man has made cameos in the various other movies, and he's been great.
Yeah.
And so he's built audience from being in those other movies as well.
And the first Ant-Man didn't do as well because there was all that controversy. We talk about this all the time on the show, is that, you know, Edgar Wright left that movie, and a lot of people were like, screw this, I'm not seeing it, because they screwed over Edgar Wright. And Edgar Wright has a very loyal fan base. He might not have the hugest fan base, but he has a very loyal fan base.
Talking of something else that has a fan base out this week, the first Purge came out on July 4th. It's been doing pretty well.
Blumhouse Corner!
9.3 million for the 2 day. It's looking like it's fighting at the moment. People are kind of differing on this. Looks like it's going to be fighting for second place with Jurassic World or Incredibles 2. Some people are saying it's going to be quite below those. So it's looking at a weekend of something in the 20s. I can see it doing about 25 quite easily. Some people are saying more 20, 22. I think we're looking at 25 this weekend.
Whatever it does, if it's in the 20s.
Made its budget back.
Good for them.
It's not my favorite Purge movie, but I do love the franchise, and I think it is worth checking out. They've done something quite different with this.
I will say, I know we have to wrap real quick, but I mean, I want to say that movie for me, like, that felt a little, like, I felt uncomfortable watching that now.
It's uncomfortable. It is.
Yeah, and it's just because of all the themes that are going on within that movie
Within the first Purge.
Yes, like that feels way, way too relevant to right
it's
now.
It's getting very, it's still fantastical, but it's getting very close to where we are, and it is...
Yeah,
some scary shit.
Yeah,
and I think that's done on purpose. I gotta be honest, because there's always been sort of that thread, right? And then now, definitely.
I just want to see the next one set again a bit in the future. Bring back Frank Grillo.
Yes.
I miss Frank Grillo. Yeah. I fucking love Frank Grillo. I absolutely love him. Okay, well, that's been Meet the Movie Press for this week. It's July 6th. My name is Simon Thompson. You can find me at Showbiz Simon on Instagram and Twitter. Very quickly, Dimitri.
You can find me at DMovies1701 and Anatomy of a Movies on the Popcorn Talk Network.
Scott.
You can find me at Black Tomatoes on Black Hollywood Live. You can go to WeLiveEntertainment.com, and you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at The Other Scott M. Also, one last thing. You need to see Sorry to Bother You this weekend. I know I'm like the guy on this show every weekend. I'm like, go see something. And I've been right every week. Come on. Won't you be my neighbor? Set it up. Like, all these buzz. It's like everyone's Sorry to Bother You, most original and ambitious movie of the year.
Thank you so much. Guys, I will see you again next week. We're resting it for Comic-Con because we're both going to be away. Guys, thank you so much. If you like the show, Meet the Movie Press, please tell your friends. Subscribe on iTunes. Share it on everything, on YouTube and Facebook and everything else. We really appreciate you getting involved in the show. You guys have a great weekend. Watch some movies. Don't get too hot. It's hot as hell out there. So don't forget, football is coming home. Just in case you wondered. It got a bit lost for a while. Yeah. It's coming home.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.